Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 23. Now keep in mind on the back of your, or in the insert in your bulletin, is a outline of this morning's message. On the back side of that outline is the scripture reading from Genesis 1. We've begun a series here on Genesis, and this morning we're focusing there on the second day and the fifth day, but I will be reading the verses that surround that as well from Genesis 1, reading the verses 1 through 23. Let's pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let this earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in Genesis chapter 1. Again, keep in mind there that outline in your bulletin, which I will be referring to in the sermon. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, when it comes to the days of creation, there is no day that is skipped over more than day 2. When you read the commentaries and hear what people say about the days of creation, very little writing is spent on day 2. It could be, perhaps, the description of day 2 is one of the shortest of all the days, only 3 verses in comparison to verse 1 or day 1, which is also 3 verses. Or it could be because in day 2 there is no mention of the fact that what God created was good. Thus, many people skip over the day and tie it directly into day 3. Because on day 3, when the land and the seas are divided, an environment is created for man. And 2 times on day 3, we're told that what God created was good. So day two is a day that when people study the days of creation in Genesis 1, it is often given less attention. It is a day that, for some, is skipped over and melded into day three. But in light of the religions of this world, we should not minimize the importance of this day. Because in the history of the world's religions, and even still today, the people of the earth have worshipped and misunderstood what is created on the second day. In the Old Testament times, we know that the people of Canaan, whom the Israelites tried and sought to drive out of Canaan, were worshipers of their god Baal. The god Baal was the god of the thunderstorm. As the storm rose over the seas, the Canaanites believed that Baal was coming alive. When they saw the lightning, they believed they saw the power of the god Baal. When they heard the thunder, they believed that they were hearing the sound of Baal's voice. And they worshiped Baal so that he would send rain for their crops. In ancient Babylon, the people believed in the supreme god, Marduk, who rose up from the creation itself. It was believed that Marduk made the sky when he rose up and defeated the female goddess monster. And Marduk split her body into two parts, one part by which he raised up and made the sky, and the other part by which he left alone and the waters of the body made up the seas of the earth. And Marduk set up boundaries and locks to keep her from unleashing her threatening waters upon the earth. Even today, there are many liberal biblical scholars who don't believe that God created the world as described on day two. But some like to theorize that the Jewish creation account, as they call it, what's found in our text this morning, was borrowed from the Babylonians when the Israelites were in captivity. Even today, when it comes to this day, this second day of creation, we hear so much about this issue of global warming, that people begin to put their focus, their view of such things in the wrong place. It is a belief that man is living upon the earth and by what he burns for fuel is causing the earth to warm up. That ice polar caps are going to melt and soon our weather and patterns will change in the world in which we live. That oceans will rise, and if we don't do something now, it's a threat to mankind. Now it's true. We need not abuse the environment of the earth in which we live. But to say that somehow man has within his own hands the power to control the future of the sky and the waters is a failure to recognize what God tells us on day two. And so this morning, let's begin again with the forming and filling patterns that we established about these days some weeks ago. In the first verse of Genesis 1, we are told that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That means that God is independent of his creation. He did not rise up from the creation as the Egyptians believed their supreme god, Marduk, did. He was not a god, as we see the Canaanites believe, that was created in part of this world and rises up and goes down. Independent of his creation, he created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. And God then, after he created the heavens and the earth, in verse 2 we're told, left them without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and what was there in verse 2 was matter. And the Spirit, you see at the end of that verse, the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And so as we go through the creation week, there are patterns that are starting to be formed. And I've laid out one of those patterns there on your outlines. A pattern of what is formless and what is being filled. When we use those terms, formless and as what is being filled, we see that there coming out of verse 2, where the earth at that point is formless and empty. It is void, and darkness is over the face of the deep. And God the Creator then is at work. He is at work forming the dimensions of the earth, forming the parts of the earth which will be separated one from the other. And then in the second part of the creation week, days 4, 5, and 6, He is filling them with the things of His creation. And again, we see the Spirit of God at work. The Spirit of God there, at the end of verse 2, is over the face of the waters. And before each day of creation, we're told that God said and God said. And the gospel writer of John tells us that Jesus, our Savior, the Word became flesh. The Word from the beginning is the one who did the creating. He is the one by which and through whom all things are created. John 1. And so, as God speaks, as our Lord speaks, as our Lord creates, the Spirit executes what the Son is declaring. That God said, and the Spirit brings it about. The Spirit completes the work that God has done. And so, following those commands, we come then to day 2. In last week's sermon, we mentioned about the creating of light and how we saw then on day 4, God filled the creation of His world, light and darkness, with a sun that rules the day, with the moon and stars that rule the night. On day 2, then, we come to another separation. This time, we're told in verse 6 that God has separated the waters. God says, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. In separating the waters, the water that was upon the earth, and now separating that water into a sky, waters that are above and waters that are below, God is creating a place, an atmosphere, in which man can live and breathe. God is not making a new creation. But what God is doing as He's forming these things is He is creating something that no other planet, no other place that we know of can compare to. Even today, when we look and recognize the weather patterns of this world, we see how the waters of the oceans evaporate into the sky, into the clouds. They become clouds, they become storms, they become rain and snow that falls upon the earth, and the water runs back down from the mountains and returns again to the oceans. This is not a new creation, but a work of God's providence which we can see on a daily basis taking place in our world. And even today, as scientists study the universe, as we send out spacecrafts, and the question is asked, are we alone? Is there life out there somewhere in this universe that we don't know about? Movies are made about life from other planets supposedly coming down to the earth, life forms which are different than our own, but so far, nothing has been discovered. The earth, as it was created on day 2, is unique from all other planets. No planet can match the atmosphere of the earth and sustain human life. Man can build a spacecraft and go off into space. We can put man on the moon, but he cannot live on the moon without the help of the things he needs to survive, enabling him to walk and to breathe. No one can set up his tent on the moon and sleep outside under a sleeping bag and think that he could survive. The earth is the only planet, the only place where you can walk around outside as man and breathe its air. Correspondingly then, on day five, God then fills the two realms he has created. And one way we notice that connection is the way there are reverse patterns in the verses of verse 6 and later on verse 20. You notice in verse 6 it starts out that God says, "Let there be an expanse, a sky, in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." When you come to verse 20, it's given in reverse order. "Let the waters first, with swarms of living creatures, and then the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." It starts on day 2 with sky and then waters, in reverse order in verse 20 with the creatures of the waters and then the birds. A chiastic structure which connects together these two days as the forming and filling that takes place. Now, as we come to verse 20, you notice that as it tells us God is forming, God has formed, and now he's filling, there is an expansiveness to the filling in these days. Verse 20, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Not only does God tell us in verse 21 that he has created the sea creatures, but he has created two kinds of sea creatures. Specifically, it expands on what has been said in verse 20, that there are the great sea creatures, the large sea creatures, but also there are the smaller sea creatures, some whom even crawl upon the bed of the sea. And God then as well creates each bird. It's each winged bird according to its kind. And again, God said that it was good. And so just like day 4, in which the sun then fills the sky and rules the sky, as the text tells us, just as during the night on day 4, the moon rules the night, so we see in these dimensions which God has filled, the winged creatures rule the sky and the sea creatures rule the sea. God has not created you with wings so that you can enter the realm of the sky. Without man-made help, you are going to fall to the earth. God has not equipped you with gills that you can live in the sea as a fish. If you fall in without man-made help, you may sink and drown. It is true that you can fly in an airplane, but an airplane itself has its limitations. The airplane has to be equipped with an environment in which you can live. It cannot maneuver like a bird. It needs an airport to land and to take off. It's true that you can sail across the ocean in a boat. It's true that you can go down in a submarine. But again, you must have a human environment in which you can live, or you will not live for long. And yet, when you watch the birds and how they fly, when you see the fish and how they swim, a human-made sub and a human-made plane cannot compare to their swiftness and their ruling of the realms in which God has put them and in which they rule. And finally, we are told in verse 22 that something else happens on this day. For the first time on this day, that has not happened yet on any other day. Verse 22, we're told that God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning of the fifth day. God blesses the creatures of the sea and the birds of the air to reproduce. They do not reproduce on their own. It is God who is blessing them. It is God who makes it come about. They are not evolving from the creation itself. It's not as if they start out as a fish and eventually evolve more and more and eventually become something else than what they started to be. Each one is created, as the text tells us, in its own kind. And God, as He has created them then, continues to bring about their multiplication, their fruitfulness, so that they will continue to fill in all of its fullness the sky and the sea, the two realms that God has made for them. And so where then this morning does the teaching of these 2 days leave us? To the Canaanites of long ago, when they saw that the god Baal was rising up, they worshiped this Baal as if the thunderstorm itself was a god. Not the evidence that the storm showed that there is a creator behind that storm. To the Babylonians of long ago, when they looked to the sky and they saw the waters, they saw them being held by what they said was a supreme god who came to the earth and killed a goddess who became the earth and the sky. Again, they believe in these things that they see leading to a false god. And to the people who hold to the global warming, which looks to the earth and its environment and concludes that man can somehow influence the world's future, the Bible tells us on day 2 that God spoke and He separated the waters and the sky. This morning, as we reflect on these 2 days, here are some things for you to remember. Number 1, God will never allow the earth to return to its state at day 2. The Bible tells us that in the days of Noah, God brought about judgment for sin. During that time, as the waters came down upon the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights, and the land was covered, and all the creatures of the land were destroyed, though Noah and his family and 2 of every creature was inside of the ark, the land again was covered. And for a time, the earth returned to the state of day 2. And after the waters receded back, and God gave the sign of the rainbow to say that He would never destroy the earth again with a flood. And while it's important to take care of the earth and not to treat it carelessly, we must remember that God has promised that He will not destroy the earth again with a flood. He will not return it again as He did during the days of Noah back to the state of day 2. But we must acknowledge that God tells us in the rest of His word that He will judge the earth again, but not once again with a flood, but with fire. And as we think of God's coming judgment, this should not want us or cause us to drive to think that there is some power or some God behind any of these things of our creation. But the knowledge that a fire of judgment is coming should drive us to the Savior who has come to save us and bring us unto God. 2, though man has discovered much about this creation, there are still many mysteries that remind us that He is the Creator, and we still submit to Him. Sometimes people have asked me, were there hurricanes on day 2 or perhaps on day 5? Were there tornadoes before Adam's fall into sin? Were there typhoons before there was sin upon this world? We don't know, because the only thing we have to look at is the world around us, which is there after sin has come in. But we do know that the world around us and such things as tornadoes and hurricanes and typhoons are threats to mankind. And many scientists spend their days and years trying to study them. And there are many things that we do learn about such things that come from the earth, that come from the sky, that come from the waters. And though they can predict them, no one can control them. Remember, before the Super Bowl last week, so much time and effort spent about what the weather would be like on that day. And no matter how many times people studied and made predictions, no one could absolutely predict or control what would happen on it. It remains today a mystery that only God knows and is behind. Perhaps you noticed in yesterday's Whidbey News Times, they think they've discovered the resting place of George Vancouver's anchor, an anchor which was lost when this region was first being discovered, something they've been looking for hundreds of years, trying to find its location because it's been sunk in the bottom of the sea. They think they've found it now. They're organizing plans to try to raise it once again and make this important discovery. But again, it verifies the point. There is much about the sea that we do not know. There is so many parts of the oceans that are undiscovered by man, that is part of God's creation, but remains a mystery to this day. And even to this day, man, the creature, cannot enter the sea as a fish and live in that sea. It remains, as God created it, their realm. Third, the creation draws you to God and His general revelation, but it must also draw you to His special revelation. One of the things I enjoy living here in this part of the nation is the beauty of the world in which we live. As I attend prayer meetings on Saturday mornings, and this past Saturday was a confirmation of that, I come to that traffic light there on Swantown where it meets Highway 20, and looking over Oak Harbor, you see the Cascade Mountains, the sun coming up over those white-capped mountains, the fog there and the mist over the waters, and the pink and the glorious colors that you can see. And you look and you see those kinds of things and you see a picture more beautiful than any computer or any person could possibly paint or create. A pink sky, snow-capped mountains, pink waters below, and it draws you to the Creator of those things. As you watch the bald eagles fly across the sky. Bald eagles, you see how they maneuver and how they show God's glorious work of His creation. Sometimes as I used to live there on the Scenic Heights Road, I could see those eagles flying by my window and I could see the military aircraft in the background. And when you compare one to the other, you see in the general revelation the wondrous glory of the Creator God, that He alone is the Creator. As you put down your fishing pot, as you put down your fishing pole and line into the sea, and you pull up what you catch, again, you see the glorious creation of God who has created these things that have filled the sea, these animals, these creatures that he has equipped to live in such a place. And it drives you to the Creator who is behind that. These days of creation are evidence of our glorious God and the beautiful creation that he has made. It drives us to see that there is a God, that we should know that he exists, that he alone is the Creator. It should drive us to his special revelation, his word that he has given us, so that we seek to know him through the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Congregation, we who live here in this place live in one of the most beautiful places on earth. Navy people who've been around the world will come back and say, we wanted to settle here because it's the most beautiful place we've ever been. But if you think this world and this place is amazing, just wait. Wait until God, through the death and resurrection of his Son, brings you to the next world. Wait till you can gaze upon the Creator who made all of these things. Wait till you're in his glorious presence in that place forevermore. Because what you see on earth through what was created on the second and fifth day cannot compare to what you and all of God's people will someday see in his presence for all glory. Do you want to go there? Do you want to be in that place? Look to the Son of God, the Word became flesh, who has saved you from your sins, and he will bring you there. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful place, this beautiful world that you have given us. As we look around, Lord, at the things that you have created, as the days of creation remind us, Lord, we know that you alone are the Creator. We thank you, Lord, that through the general revelation, through the world that you have given us to live in, we can see you behind those things. We rejoice, Lord, that though we are sinners, though we deserve to return to the dust, you have sent your Son to bring us unto you. Father, as we look around us and see the beauty of this world, remind us, Lord, each and every day that there is another place that you have for your people which is more beautiful and more glorious yet. Father, keep our thoughts upon you. May the world and the beauty of this world and the things of this world drive us only unto you. May we love our Savior more, who has brought us to you. May you bring us to you where we can be with you forevermore. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.